I don't want to lose my friend or my sister, but it was that realization we already have.
Wow. So, Midnight.
Hi.
Hello. She posted it pretending to be me.
When would you say you began to notice a turning point in that friendship?
Well, okay, let's get straight into it. And I blocked and deleted her number. That's the last time I ever spoke to her. She's now picking a fight about it. You're getting personal about it. And at this point, you're proving my point. Words hurt.
Words kill.
Words kill.
Words
it's
are
true.
Killing people words now. Hello and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we discuss friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode, I'll be speaking to a variety of guests as they share their stories and experiences about friendship breakups. And today I'm joined by Midnight, who's here to share her story about how a childhood friendship slowly declined over the years due to changes in individual circumstances. So before we take a deep dive into Midnight's story, just one announcement. In this podcast season, we'll be dedicating a few episodes to answering dilemmas. So I'll be joined with a co-host and we'll just be having some girly chats whilst we answer your dilemmas. So if you do have a dilemma that you would like featured on this podcast, if you'd like us to discuss it, please email theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. That's theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. And I'll also link the email in the description. So, Midnight.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you for coming on to Unfriended and thank you for being brave enough to share your story. So, I guess what I'd like to ask is, can you start off by just painting a picture of the friendship, you know, how you met, how it all started? Yeah, just let us know.
Okay, cool. Thank you for having me as well. So yeah, the friendship that I'm talking about today that declined, it's of course no real names, guys. we were a trio, we were three musketeers, but rather than being men, we were three young girls, and it was myself and Anastasia and Jennifer.
Okay.
So we all met at secondary school and stuff, like right at the beginning of year seven. Hit it straight off, was really, really close and stuff, thick as thieves. And we were part of a wider group of friends, but the three of us spent a lot of time together and stuff. We were very strong with one another. But yeah, in short, it was literally beginning of secondary school, from year seven onwards and stuff. We did majority of things together and stuff, yeah. Obviously. And, you know, we were living, breathing and growing with one another, you know, as you do, like with a lot of these like much younger friendships that develop, yeah, from when you're very young.
So basically you've got all the time in the world to just be hanging out all the time, basically.
Basically, you know, like everything is, you know, life at that age is like, you know, okay, yeah, your studies and stuff, and it's you and your friends, you know?
Yeah.
And stuff outside of like your immediate family, the relatives, the loved ones that you see all the time.
Yeah.
It's you and your friends and, you know, you're like taking on the world with one another.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Because yeah.
Obviously, the world is so small, but you don't know it at that time. Okay. You don't think it's that big.
So just a quick question. So it sounds like you guys were in a trio.
Yeah.
Were you all equally as close, or did maybe two of you have a close relationship and the other two? Like, was it an equal closeness between Jennifer, you and Anastasia?
I would say it was quite equal.
Yeah.
Maybe later on, it was a little bit more two and one.
Okay.
But still very mutual in terms of like the respect and just love that we have for one another.
Yeah.
But naturally two of them lived, so Jennifer and Anastasia lived closer to one another. They literally lived walking distance, whereas I lived a good bus ride away.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot easier for them to obviously have more time with one another and meet up.
Yeah.
So there was those little differences there, but other than that, it was really set in stone as how we were. So yeah, we spent so much time together, did everything together, inside school, outside school, and it was a really, really, you know, close friendship for the longest of times.
Okay, so you're saying you have this really close friendship, started in secondary school. So when would you say that you began to notice a turning point in that friendship?
Well, okay, let's get straight into it. let's just dive right in. So, yeah, like I said, we met in year seven and we're really, really close.
Yeah.
Obviously, secondary school is year seven through to year 11. When we got to year 11, we were 15 going 16.
Okay. So can I just keep, so your friendship started year seven.
Yeah.
So you have all this time and it's only when you get to 15, 16, things start to shift.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So just to backtrack a little bit actually and stuff, I think it's year nine, year 10 to what, between 13, 14, going on 15, where we had a lot of, what would you say? you know, we went to a girls' school.
Okay.
And we had, there was, you know, shifts with some friends here and there where, you know, some people are talking about whether it's like boys and this and that. And, you know, like some of us are like, no, not really keen or not really have a big interest as such. And we definitely saw with Anastasia that out of the three of us, she had more of an interest in stuff in terms of like a boy that she likes or so forth. I was really, I don't know if the word is timid or just unbothered. I was very, I'm just that kid that was very happy to be like, I can't, like, I come to school
to, I go to study. Home,
I go home. I just want, like, from school, I just want to go home and eat the food that's at home. There's Sky TV at home. I'm going home, guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was very much a homebody from a very young age.
Okay, I get
and
you.
Then our other friend, she was more, Jennifer was more about like adventures and so forth, and very much about just friends time.
Yeah.
So out of the three of us, it was more Anastasia, I think, was the first to be like, oh, stuff like boys and interested in boys and so forth. Anyway, the real shift came when we were in year 11.
Yeah.
And the long story short, Anastasia fell pregnant.
Okay.
She started dating this boy. It'd been a few months and things happened and she fell pregnant. Okay. And, you know, obviously it's shocking news. It's a big change.
Yeah, huge.
You know, you're talking about bringing a life into the world, and that's what was happening. So from how did the school did it in a particular way where she effectively disappeared one half term.
Okay.
Obviously me and Jennifer knew
why
she disappeared, but at this point no one else knew. But the minute she disappeared, all these speculations came up. I'm saying, kids or something else, you know. The way they'll just be, oh my gosh, have you seen, I haven't seen this girl in this long time. Da, 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 da.
And were you guys like covering for her, or were you guys,
we covered as
dumb?
Long as we could, but you know, at some point it was like people were just making sense to say, okay, well, you lot are just talking a lot and what you're talking doesn't make sense. So I think we get the drift that so it's like she disappeared, what was it, maybe about 4 months or so.
Okay, that's a long time.
And honestly, Anastasia's really strong because she disappeared, she gave birth, and then came back in the final months of that year and still managed to finish all our GCSEs and everything. And she got really good grades.
That's really good.
She's really, really strong. We actually saw that like really progress with her and stuff, even when we got into like college and uni going further. I think she was always a smart, intelligent, she was always intelligent, of course. But she had even more drive with having her child.
Yeah.
With having her baby, she realized, okay, I need to really make sure I do well. And I'm able to do more, not just for myself anymore, but I'm also thinking of this little life that I've created. So she did really, really well on like GCSEs and everything. And I admired her, just thinking, I don't know if I would be able to be in that predicament and do such a thing and even be able to come back knowing that people are whispering about you and so forth. She had a really rough time.
Oh, wow.
She had a really rough time. Like she, all of us are from ethnic backgrounds.
Yeah.
Ethnic minorities. So, you know, we're coming from cultures and things where, hey, it's not pregnant.
Pregnant.
You know what? So, you know, it's it was rough at home.
Can you imagine?
She had siblings. In one of the saddest things from her loved ones at home, she had a sister that was only what, like 2 years or so, maybe 18 months younger than her. They literally are spitting image of each other, to the point where her sister, like there were times where even me and Jennifer on a, like a side profile, you would get confused thinking they're spitting image of each other. And I think at one point they were like really, really close and, you know, and literally they're sibling consecutively one after the other. And when everything happened, she got into some sort of argument or fight with her sister. And her sister said some very like harsh words to her that were very damaging at the time. And it took a couple years for them to repair relationship they had. And I'm like, this is, you know, her sister, her blood that she's living with. Never mind everything that was happening outside. You know, kids like to talk. So, you know, as much as, you know, you think that you're not grown, but you think you're kind of grown when you're that kind of a teenager, 15, 16. And kids talk. And even outside, she got a lot of stick for just being seen like as a young mum, you know. I remember one of the saddest incidences was she was a bit afraid to go out with the pushchair and stuff and with the baby when, you know, not long after he was the child was born because of the judgment. Oh, no. And you know, Jennifer and I were there encouraging her on the phone all the time, like, no, come on, like, it'll be good for you and it's healthy and, you know, it'll be good and stuff. You just need to get out and stuff. There's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, like, you're here and you're healthy, it's great, you know, proper encouragement, all this stuff. So eventually her confidence got built up and she was like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go out today. And she went out with a pushchair, and when she was out, there was some boy, I think probably not that much older than us, but older, let's say late teens, early 20s. And she was walking on by with a pushchair, and he was walking the other way, and he just went, oh, and called her a name. I won't say the name, but
this random stranger doesn't know her.
Random stranger, don't know her, just saw her. Oh, but obviously, because obviously, naturally, we were young, so he could see she was young.
How can you?
And then just came and just called her a name and walked. And I was just like, whoa.
That's terrible.
So she come back and she was telling us, and you know, she's crying. I'm thinking, yo, like, this is...
That's a lot.
This is the thing.
And being a young mum as well.
Yeah, she was just going through thing after thing after thing. It was like every wall, it seemed like, I can imagine for her that everything felt like it was against her.
So I'm just wondering about the friendship. So how did that affect the friendship? Because I'm thinking, so 16, you know, her life has changed. She's now a mother.
Yeah.
Her responsibilities are so much different. And then you got you guys where you're 16, you don't have that. And it's like you've almost got like your whole life ahead of you. You can travel, you can just pick up and do whatever.
Yeah.
Go to college, go this, do that. What was the impact on the friendship? Like,
well,
did the dynamic shift now? Because obviously it's not like a, hey, you want to come cinemas and you can, because remember you said that you guys could spend all this time together, but
yeah,
that's not the case anymore. So how did that impact the friendship?
This is the thing. So Jennifer and I were very ready to be like, oh, you know, we've got to do what we can to try and support her and, you know, be the best that we can be in terms of, you know, just as supportive friends.
Yeah.
And we knew change was here because, you know, last week, none of us were mothers and now one of us is. So we knew that came with change. But I think at that age, there's not a complete understanding as to how much change that's going to be. And so I think for Jennifer and I, it was thought that it was going to be more like, okay, she's not going to be able to go out and do things as normal. And we'll have to think about some of the activities and things we do participate in. Like sometimes there might be things that the two of us can do, even with some of our other friends, but there'll be other things that we'll look to try and do now to make sure Anastasia is involved and things for the baby as well, you know? But we didn't have I think we were too young, looking back in hindsight anyway, I think we were too young to understand what the emotional impact was going to be.
So you guys couldn't give her that emotional support that she needed?
No, like, because we're all intelligent kids. We're very aware that, you know, we weren't going to be able to completely understand the position she was in, because the reality is we're not mothers.
Yeah.
And so we're not taking on the responsibility of looking after another human being, at least not full time, you know. There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
But the kind of social isolation she felt and all the other demeaning and, you know, negative things that she was experiencing, we could only hear about it and, you know, only part of it. We didn't necessarily hear and see everything.
Exactly.
Like what she was experiencing maybe at home with when everything first started. So we were never going to fully be prepared for the actual impact overall it was going to have on her until finally we started to see things creep up and when it started to change her overall. And that happened over the years coming over time and stuff, as we got into college, as we got to uni.
Okay, so tell me more about that, how it sort of progressed from there.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. Gosh. So we got into college. We all went to the same college and it was great. And so we had our courses. We all shared at least one class with each other because of the subjects and stuff that we chose. And like I said, Anastasia was a very intelligent girl. She was very hardworking. She was so set on it. And honestly, I have to give her props and give props to anyone who's, you know, gone through a hard time and has really just, you know, climbed the mountain to reach the top and stuff, to say, I've beat this peak. And so, because she really worked hard and stuff. I think when we were finishing college and stuff, she had a lot of like A's, A stars. Obviously, the grade system is different now. I don't know what it is today. These 1 to 9, I can't tell you about that business. But she had like A stars and this and that and stuff. And she was just like hitting really high marks and stuff. And she was serious about it because of our child. But during that time, college, over that two-year period, we saw, or at least I saw, a very different side to our friendship. And it became an effect of Jennifer and I, like I said, we weren't prepared for the emotional traumas that was brought upon Anastasia. So when now her mood and character started to change in line with the treatment that she felt, I guess, she was getting, we weren't prepared for that change, because now being her two main friends, that change started to then backlash onto us.
Okay, I see.
And this was, I think, for both Jennifer and I, our first experience of like really being, I guess, emotional punching bags.
Oh, wow.
So it just became, it got into this trend where we can be sitting there as friends, or maybe it's we're all at home, we're on a group chat. We're on the group chat. Somebody says something. Anastasia doesn't like something.
Okay.
Or I don't know. Or she said something because it's rubbed her. Whatever it is, right? Something like pitiful, like nothing to be really bothered about in any sense. She's now picking a fight about it.
Okay.
And you're getting personal about it. You're calling people names that you names you should never be calling anybody.
Really?
It's getting bad. Now people are arguing. Now you call, you cast out everybody, names, you block everyone.
Literally.
Instant block.
Was she block or was she leave the group chat?
A bit of both. Depends.
So was she like this before? Like, did you
she
ever
She wasn't like this before.
So when you would have arguments before, disagreements, it wouldn't go
it
to
It would
name...
never escalate that far, let alone get to this kind of state. It was of something that happened, that started happening some time after post-pregnancy and stuff. Now where her child was here, and all these little incidences, like where she was, you know, out with the pushchair and somebody else says something and this happened and oh, she said people were laughing at her here. And so when all these incidences started happening, obviously I think emotionally she was banking all of it. She's just banking the trauma. But then now it was, when she's letting it out upon us in our group chat and here and there. And it's just one of those things that happens sometimes in life with friends, friendships, any sort of relationship, really. It happens with people and you just have to be aware of it, that for yourself, that you don't end up doing those things.
It's a hard one because you want to sympathize because she is going through it.
This is the thing.
But at the same time, you're like, am I supposed to take the negativity?
Jennifer and I didn't know what it was going to be like. Obviously, we were good friends.
Yeah.
So we struggled with the idea of moving away from our friend when this... I think we didn't have that kind of experience yet to understand what it is to have boundaries. To say, okay, like, I know you're going through this and so forth, but it doesn't mean that you can now come and do this to me and it's just all okay. And stuff. If wherever I can support you, I will support you.
Yeah.
And if you wanted, if there's somewhere else I can support you, let me know.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that experience yet. Effectively, this was our first experience of going through something like that. So what proceeded through college and then through into uni was this constant trend of talk or something, or plan an activity. Oh, have some sort of hiccup, start fighting. People get called names, blocked. And I saw it very early on in college and was like, I'm a lot less tolerant in comparison to Jennifer. Jennifer is such a kind soul. She's one of the kindest friends I have. She's a very, very passionate, very compassionate friend. So she's a lot more tolerant, I would say, anyway, in my opinion, from looking from the outside in. Whereas I'm not tolerant. I'm patient to a certain extent. Once that patience wears thin and I'm like, things are not changing, or things are not, we can't make sense of this, cut it off. So because I started to see this trend early on in college, I was like, okay, you know what? It's not me that you're going to do this, because I'm not going to argue with you every other week.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, you're going to block me, I will block you and I will not answer. So I just took a proper kind of step back a bit. And like I said, the two of them lived closer to one another. It was easier for them to meet up more and do more things. So it was natural that they spent a bit more time together than when it was all the three of us. So when I kind of withdrew just a bit, it was easy for them to spend more time. So then Anastasia was offloading a lot more on Jennifer, and I was more so there, but a little bit on the bench, if that makes sense.
Okay, so as a trio, you're stuck in this cycle of arguments, name calling, blocking, and then you're friends again, then something else happens, argument.
I didn't even explain that. The way it will just go is name calling, mainly from Anastasia. Name calling. She will block us.
Okay.
Pop back up a week or two later, like nothing happened.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hey guys, what are you doing?
And would you guys say anything, or would you guys just be like, oh, no, it's cool? Like, would you just pick up where you left
off? It'd be like nothing happened.
Wow.
No, like I said, Jennifer was taking most of the brunt of this.
Okay.
So, and like I said, she was a lot more kind and compassionate.
Mm.
So it'd be like, oh, yeah, it's all blown over, it's all done and stuff. So then people just be talking as normal as again.
So what? Not even an apology like, hey, guys, sorry, I've had a mad week. Sorry about blocking you guys, but I'm back.
Apology where?
Nothing.
Spell apology.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay, so you're trapped in this cycle. Mm. You take a step back.
Yeah.
So how does things progress from there?
It doesn't really progress. It gets worse.
Okay.
So throughout uni, it was just the same old thing. So like I said, we all went to the same college together. When we finished, got our grades, Jennifer and I went to universities outside of London.
So you had the whole campus life?
Campus life, you know, and just, you know, exploring away from home and things. Of course, Anastasia didn't get to do that because of her circumstances. And I, you know, we didn't talk about it per se, but I knew she felt upset or some type of way about it.
So naturally, just to clarify, she did go to uni, but she just basically stayed local.
Yeah, okay. She stayed local. She stayed at home. I know that is something we had talked about when we were a lot younger, obviously when we were in secondary school early on, and thought, oh yeah, like we'll go different places. Maybe we'll go to the same uni and we'll go like far and we'll, it's going to, I don't know, live this, I don't know, crazy girl's life. I don't know what we thought.
Yeah.
I don't know, movies or something. I don't know, influence. But, you know, we always thought, oh, yeah, like we'll go away from home and, you know, start really building our lives, exploring. And obviously that whole idea or dream just, you know, was not a non-starter for Anastasia. And I think she saw a lot of things that Jennifer and I would do and would feel somewhat a type of way and stuff. And not to say that she didn't want us to obviously enjoy things, but it's that FOMO, isn't it? It's that fear of missing out. It's that, oh my gosh, like all my friends are getting to do things that I wish I wanted to do. And now I can't because, you know, that part of like childhood is effectively now been removed. It's been robbed because of the scenario. So every now and then I would notice something and some, like, just see, it would be the glistening in her eyes or something that just says, oh, like she's feeding it. I would feel bad, but you know, it is what it is. So I think, yeah, over time it only worsened. And I think with all of these emotions and things that she was going through, and like I said, we're coming from backgrounds where culturally it's not like you're gonna have crazy emotional support at home. Some people are not even getting the physical support when you arrive in such a situation. Some people are saying, hey, you're pregnant, get out my house. Praise God that wasn't Anastasia's scenario. But it, you know, it doesn't mean that you then, just because you've got the physical help, you've got the emotional help. You know, people are sometimes emotionally burdening you and you're carrying the weight by yourself. And I think she did carry a lot of weight by herself.
Yeah.
So I think that bubbling up for so long and stuff, it caused her to internalize a lot of things. And, you know, it made her feel, I think, quite sour about just certain things about life, you know, because of how it was going and stuff for her.
Oh, I can imagine, like, you know, she probably had the same dreams and aspirations as you, and having to sort of watch that and watch people close to you not be able to share that.
Yeah.
It must have been hard.
Be like, oh, yeah, like, oh, well, we're just going to go out for dinner because we can. Oh. You know, like when you're in uni and stuff, and you have, especially if you're in a background where it's like, we didn't take uni seriously in terms of, you know, when you get like things like student finance and you feel like you got money, you don't have money, but you have money. Oh, we're just going to go out for dinner because we can.
That student finance. Listen, I felt when I had student finance, I felt like I was a millionaire.
I'm telling you.
Like, I used to go out and I bought like a £40 like vest. I know it's not a lot, but when you're £40 on this little vest. Anyway.
Do you know the amount we've spent? Oh my goodness. And so I don't even want to think about it. So I'll get a heartburn thinking about it.
Honestly.
But so, yeah, we were living.
So you mentioned things got progressively worse.
Yeah.
When would you say things sort of came to a head?
I think it got really bad. Like I said, we had all this craziness, college, uni, fast forward through uni. So we're talking, what, 3 years. We've all graduated undergrad. Ooh, big, crazy, crazy, crazy time, you know, very expensive piece of paper. And this is now, I think, about a year and a half to 2 years post uni. And at this point, we're all talking about different things, you know, like someone saying about work and stuff. At that time, I was talking about, oh, maybe like master's degree. And then I actually started one. So I was doing my second degree. Anastasia as well, she was thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to do a master's degree. And she was thinking about like what she was doing and stuff. She was even shifting her focus about, you know, subjects and so forth. So, you know, we're all, you know, exploring our realms of like what we want to do, basically. Anyway, I'm now towards the end of my master's and stuff. We're talking about 2 years later, basically. And like I said, this trend is at its all-time high. It's constant this, that, this and the other, with just fights and this and oh, and then we're blocked. And there were days where like I'd wake up, I'd see like 100 messages on a group chat. And I'd see like the last one and just see, oh, someone has left the group chat or someone has blocked this individual. I'm just like, yep. And I would just close it. I wouldn't read the messages. Goodness wow. me, no. Time is short in this life. Yeah. And so it was just a normal thing. So anyway, it's about a month out from me handing in my thesis, my dissertation for my master's. And things are really, really intense. You know, it was a really, really tough time for myself. And then we get the unfortunate news that Anastasia's lost a loved one. She's lost her uncle. He died in his home and stuff. And, you know, the family just came to know and so forth. And, you know, it was really sad, of course. And we were told like, oh, yeah, like there's nothing that's going to be done here. They're going to send the body back home. And that's what we were told. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. We pass our condolences to you and your family. Mm. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help you or support you. And that was initially effectively just that.
Mm.
In the background, I have one of my other friends outside of this trio who she was having a bridal shower. It was a very big moment for her for many different reasons and stuff, this particular bridal shower. Not only did she ask me to attend, but she asked me to bring one of her best friends who wasn't able to drive to where this event was. And you can only drive, you're going to get public transport.
Okay.
So she was like, please, 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 like, can you bring my friend and stuff? I said, yeah, no problem, because she didn't live far from me and we're coming from far. Anyway, and so there was a whole arrangement that I made a commitment to this. Some time, a couple weeks, I think, after I made that commitment, Anastasia comes and tells me and Jennifer, hey, I know that that's passed and stuff, but we're going to actually hold a memorial. It's like, oh, okay, no problem, like we'll be there. I didn't find out it's on the same day as the bridal shower.
Wow.
So I felt bad and I immediately spoke to her there and then. I was like, listen, I'm so sorry, I've already made a commitment to this other situation and it's not like there's someone else I know that I can be like, oh, can you carry this, but or you know something. And I was like, it's too close to time now, so I can't just break the commitment. I felt like I couldn't, but I felt really bad, like, oh, memorial. So I don't know, I was torn, but I spoke to her and she was immediately like, no, I completely understand, like, and so, and I said, don't worry and stuff, as soon as when I go to this, I'll still come by to try and see you and I'll definitely come back into ends and, you know, we'll do something together. So I'm so sorry. And she was like, no, no problem, I completely understand. Anyway, Jennifer was free and she said, no, I'll be there. Is there any sort of protocol thing? So Anastasia's like, okay, it's a big theme thing, bright colors, everything, you know, we're celebrating the life, a beautiful life that lived. A couple weeks goes by and so those days come. So I was with this said other friend driving to our friend's bridal shower. And it was a long drive and stuff. It was about, what, 2 hours or so. And it's when I'm driving along, I think I was like halfway along on the motorway, this is when things get real.
The group chat's popping off.
So the first thing that happens is Jennifer calls me.
Okay.
She calls me and the minute I pick up the phone, I can see she's distressed. Mm. And I was thinking, oh no, please, not today, please. So I answer the phone. I'm like, Jennifer, what's good? What's going on? And she's like, oh, I can't believe this and stuff. She's at the venue for where this memorial is being held. Anastasia hadn't arrived yet, but that's the time she told her to meet her. Anastasia hadn't arrived, but all her like family members, elders, family members are there and they're all wearing black.
What's Jennifer wearing?
Bright colors.
Really?
because she told us bright colors.
Oh.
So Jennifer made the effort, like she'd gone, like the day before she'd gone out to the high street, she shopped, got a whole new outfit. But this is what I'm saying, this is how Jennifer is. She's so compassionate and she's like, if you tell her something, she's so for you and what you want to do. So she was like, oh no, bright colors, I want to celebrate this life. This is what Anastasia said, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she went and got, like, she had some whatever, I think it was some bright orange top, something else, some like white trousers, something yellow, everything, really bright colors.
Oh, wow.
And so Jennifer called me because she was distressed, because she was like, there's elders of the family standing there, like, you know, elders have yeah. no, they don't care, they'll
her.
Be talking in front of you, do you know what I mean, like they won't yeah. hide it. So there was elders talking in front of her like, who is this young girl who's come here in these bright colors, does she not know it's a memorial? And she's distressed and so Jennifer, out of the three of us, Jennifer is the friend as well you don't arrive late with. she gets distressed about these things a lot more than the rest of us. It's like, you know, be on time. And to be honest, it is an awkward situation, like, because you're there with like people you don't know, and it's not like it's your age mates. These are grown people, you know. These are our aunties and uncles. Now auntie and uncle is there cussing you in front of you. What are you meant to do standing there in bright orange? So anyway, fast forward, I said, you know what, just speak to... No, actually, sorry. She had already spoke to Anastasia, and that's why she was calling me. She was like, I can't believe her and stuff. She called and was like, hey, where are you? What's going on? Anastasia was like, oh, can you pipe down and stuff? I'm not there yet. I'll be on the way. And this is the thing that had developed in those trends I was talking about. Anastasia just got to the point where she would talk to us anyhow. And it was like, she would shout, she could scream at you, she would call you names, vulgar names, you know, and feel like it was okay in her anger and, oh, but I'm fine now, so everything should be normal. Like
that tends to happen. I think sometimes we can hurt the people that we're closest to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that familiarity, do you know what I mean?
It's, yeah, familiarity is too comfortable. But that happens when certain boundaries and things are not set, because if you do it once and you get away with it, why wouldn't you do it again and again? And it's normal now.
Yeah,
you know. And that's with anything in life, you know. So anyway, fast forward, they had a massive argument over the phone, and Anastasia's like, whatever, and so do whatever you like, blah 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 blah, calls all these things on the phone, hangs up. So I think Jennifer just reached her last straw and was like, you know what, I can't do this. And decided that, okay, I'm gonna go. So she left. From what I hear, Anastasia didn't arrive there until maybe 45 minutes or so after Jennifer had left anyway, so it was a long time. So I'm at this bridal shower, my phone is just pinging, ping 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 ping. I said, oh, here we go. And it's just Anastasia, just abuse on this phone, abuse. And now she's casting both of us out. I said, hey, me, I thought we already talked, what's going on? Abuse. Oh, you lot are terrible. You're this, you're that, you're this. All these names.
Oh, wow.
Blocked us. And so Jennifer and I spoke, and I think this is where we're like, you know what? This was the final straw. We've cut, it's too much. And this is the thing, is that it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. We were carrying this and trying to carry this friendship. And it got to the point where it was altering even the way we reacted to things. Because by the time we were in uni, it was almost like we're walking on eggshells around Anastasia, like with some of the things we'll say and do. Because we didn't want to upset her or then and to start one of those arguments and then have these spouts. And, you know, that has an effect, because then when you go into other friendships or relationships, there's that kind of like PTSD almost. And then you start acting the same in other situations. You know what I mean? And I was just like, no, it's enough. It's enough. Like there's nothing. We can't keep catering to just because we're in this space with you. It's you can't keep, you have to come out of that which has hurt you and stuff, and look to heal and then build on those things. Anyway,
okay, so this happens, so it seems like both you and Jennifer are like, it's enough now,
done out.
So what happens?
So we had spoke on the phone, I think it was like later that night or the day after, and was like, listen, we're blocked in it, same old, you know. She's gonna pop up in like 2 or 3 weeks, and she's like, Jennifer's like, yeah, I know, but to be honest, I'm done, I'm so tired. And to be honest, I felt for Jennifer, because I was tired, but I was like, no, if I'm tired, Jennifer is exhausted.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're just gonna have to talk to her and be like, we just can't go on like this, and we just don't want to be friends.
So before this time, there was never that conversation. It was just, let's just roll with it. Let's just...
Effectively, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like, there'll be moments where we talk about things, or there's a lot of occasions as well where there'd be arguments between the two of them, and the two of them will come to me and I'd just be like, well, you know, you weren't correct. I effectively was the mediator.
Yeah.
But then... And probably that was probably the most conversations we had. But in terms of actually acknowledging like, yo, this is not okay.
Yeah.
We just gotten into this pattern of this, you know, this bad habit. This
friendship can't operate like this anymore.
And you know, it's one of those things, because it's hard sometimes to acknowledge that I maybe can't be friends with this person anymore. Yeah. Same with like, you know, how some people are in relationships. You think, oh, like, this is not great, but I don't want to lose this person. And it's the same in your friendships. You're like, oh, you know, but this is like my sister. I don't want to lose this person.
Yeah.
And then you end up building a habit to tolerate things because you tell yourself you don't want to lose that person, but what, at the expense of losing yourself? So we're like, okay, when she pops up, we'll chat to her and we'll just, you know, make it clear. And surprisingly, ironically even, she popped up. Normally I expect her to speak to Jennifer first, but this time she popped up to me first. And I wish I could say that that was like towards the very end of the story, but it's more so not hit its climax yet.
Oh, wow.
So she pops up to me, hey Midnight, how are you? Via text. She actually said in the text, oh, I haven't heard from you in a while and stuff. And I said, because you blocked me. And she said, oh yeah, but I unblocked. So I got over that ages ago. That was all via text. I just said, I'm not even gonna. I then sent a novel of a text just saying, listen, in short, I said, I don't think we get along. I think actually we really hurt one another. And because of that, I don't think we should talk much if being friends at all.
Wow. Yeah. How did it feel right in that?
It felt tough. I mean, it's not something I enjoyed writing, but I knew I needed to do it. I also was a little bit anxious about how she would react to it. But again, it was just something that had to be done. So I sent the message and within a couple minutes, she calls me. So she calls me, she picks up the phone. I pick up the phone and I can hear just even the change in her voice. There was, I don't want to say, because it's like saying there was a sense of humility like, in her voice.
Serious.
Yeah. Like you know, whereas before, like I said, because we've been in this habit for so long, she would say and do a lot. And there was almost like a level of arrogance because there was this expectation that, well, you have to tolerate this from me and I'm going to block you and pop up later when I want to, when I'm in the mood, and like it should just be tolerated. But now in this moment, there was a sense of humility. And, you know, she was, you know, very sincere on the phone and I could tell she was upset and I felt bad, but I knew that I couldn't change that because I couldn't continue like this. So we spoke for a while and she was like, oh, but like, where is this coming from? Why do you feel like that? And I said, listen, we're always arguing. I said, look at this now. You're even saying that, oh, you unblocked me a while ago. And so how many times have you blocked us? I said, can you even count anymore? How many times you argument this, that this, blocked, unblocked? We must have spoke for about 5 minutes on the phone, wrapped it up and stuff. And it was just like, okay. And so I understand. Fine. Okay. Bye. Bye. A couple minutes later, she had a similar conversation with Jennifer. And I don't know if I'm cynical, but there was something in me that said that was all a little bit too simple.
Oh, okay, so the fact that she was just like, okay, I get it, I understand.
I think because of the nature of like I said, all these arguments and things, over little things. Let me give you a very quick example. It's like saying you and I, Daisy, we start planning a trip. I've traveled, you haven't traveled before. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Oh, we're here in the UK, we're going to go to Spain. Let's consider going from Heathrow because it's very easy in terms of train links and da-da-da-da-da. And you go, no, we're going to go from Gatwick. Okay, but why Gatwick? Because we'll have to pay for the express train there. Like, why? Like, it just makes more simple sense for like where we live locations. Just go from Heathrow. And you go, you're just saying this because you feel like, because I haven't traveled, you feel like you can say what and so and just make all the plans and be in control of everything. No, I'm not saying that. Well, I feel like you should understand my point and hear what I'm saying because da 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 da. And it will just start like that. You know, pointless things. But obviously, that's probably spawned from what she's been feeling for a long time. And again, from when she got pregnant to giving birth to then everything she was experiencing, even in college, like there were things that happened. You know, there was a time, I think we were at a local McDonald's or something, like a local fast food. And there was a group of like girls and boys from college. And I think it was like one of the boys or something was like, oh, come here. I would like to chat to you. I'd like to chat to you. And then she was like, obviously, because it's a group of people, she just started walking towards a person. And I'd be like, oh, no, 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 never mind, never mind. Like, things to just try and embarrass. You know, kids are wicked. Kids are wicked, you know.
Oh, man.
Teenagers are wicked, listen, you know.
I don't want to repeat secondary school.
Like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Kids, teenagers, I call like young adults, wicked, wicked. Anyway. But yeah, I think this buildup of things has just made us so, like, oh, everyone's, you know, trying to attack. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that loss of control, that loss of confidence.
It became now everything that was spilling out into any conversation we had. So it'd be something as small as that. Oh, okay. Oh, why don't you try it? Oh, no. What are you saying? Because da 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 da. Another argument. Before you know it, you're blocked. Yeah, so she had a conversation. Obviously, we had ours. She had a conversation with Jennifer. And I think she was aware now that we're both like, we don't want to be friends. We can't do this anymore. I remember I spoke to Jennifer and she's just like, yeah, like it was rough, but you know, we both felt it rough, but it was needed because it was like it was a burden lifted from us because it was too much now. Anyway, that was like I'm going to say it was a Saturday night, Sunday.
Oh, wait. So sorry. So you have this discussion Saturday night and it's like, OK, I understand. I respect your decision. And now you're saying Sunday.
Sunday.
OK, what happens on Sunday?
Sunday, the morning after.
Yeah.
You know, common sunset, sunrise. So I get a message from Anastasia, right? And a couple months before that, we'd gone out for my mother's surprise birthday dinner.
Okay.
I organized a surprise birthday dinner. I told them to come along with a couple other friends, all my mom's friends and some family friends, you know, loved ones. So they came, was out for a meal at this nice restaurant somewhere. I remember Anastasia was one of the earliest people to leave. Because she had a couple of other events to attend to. Now, I couldn't remember all the details off the top of my head at that time on this blessed Sunday morning. But I get a message from Anastasia and it's just a complete novel of a message. When I say novel, I'm not talking no common novel. I'm talking like, you know, like the thickness, if you see like the Harry Potter book or the Lord of the Rings, you know, that thick. Anyway. And she's explaining like, oh, how I'm just not really a supportive friend or person because she even came out to support me with my mom's surprise dinner.
Mm.
And that was a day when she was supposed to be with her uncle.
Mm.
And her mom was getting on to her saying, why are you not coming for a family event? And she was like, no, I'm going to go support Midnight and her family and da 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 da. And she was, and she literally said in the message, this is what she had said. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what she said. And she said, oh, and just like that, she never saw her uncle again.
Oh, man.
To say it made me feel bad is an understatement. And I was thinking, what? And in my mind, I was thinking, first of all, it's not me that you're going to twang because no one's ever forced. I've never forced any friend or anybody to come and come to this that I'm doing. Because I understand where there's more than one thing, especially if it's your own family event or something's going on. Anyway, I felt, like I said, I felt bad because you hear the narrative she was pushing. So I was on the phone now with Jennifer and I was talking about the message I got. Jennifer has the memory of an elephant.
Okay.
Insane. The details this girl remembers. Jennifer can tell us something about some school lunch we had 7 years ago. Insane memory. So when I'm telling her this, she's like, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, I remember because obviously they met up together to come for that event. And she detailed that she said that her neighbor had a party, birthday party that they were throwing, and her cousin, so her uncle's child, okay, had their birthday party.
Yeah.
So they were throwing a little shindig together. So all of those things were happening on that day. All of those things were in the evening. But this dinner I did is not like dinner time. It's like a very late lunch.
Okay.
And stuff. So she was going to go to one of the events after. So when she was leaving, and it's only when Jennifer reminded me that I remembered this, when she was leaving, Jennifer had asked, like, oh, are you going to go to your uncle's then? She's like, nah, man, I can't be bothered, man. It's too long. It's too far. I'm just going to go to my neighbor's because it's next door. Yeah, so I couldn't believe that Anastasia, like, she painted a narrative to make me feel some type of way. And the thing is, what was sad about it is because it wasn't the first time it happened.
Okay.
But it was the first time she was doing it with me. Like I said, Jennifer went through a lot more. She did a lot more with her. So anyway, we saw it and I was just like, ah, it's well in it. Anyway, later that day.
Okay, so you get the message on Sunday morning and now you're saying something else happens after that.
Yes.
Okay.
As in, it was just, it's like a prelude.
Okay.
That message. So, are you familiar with a popular blog site called Mumsnet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know, I'm lying. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay. Wonderful. So for anyone listening who's not familiar, it's a little bit like Reddit and stuff where it's just blog site, you know, people post questions or post scenarios and get answers back, you know, from like general public, etc. Mumsnet, as implied, I think there's a lot of like, I don't know if it started off mainly for mums or something, but you know, there's a lot of people on there.
Oh, so it's not just for mums.
I mean, anyone can sign up, you know, it's the internet. Okay. And so you know, you can't restrict anyone from signing up. And Jennifer and Anastasia were frequent users for it.
So Jennifer doesn't have, she doesn't have a child or anything like that. But she's on Mumsnet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of them, like, I even was only aware of it because of the two of them. Because they will go on and see, like, different, you know, posts and stuff. And it'd be like, oh my gosh, did you see this story? Oh my gosh, can you see this question? Like, it's one of those sites. It's basically Reddit. It's basically like Reddit. So, you know, there's just so much interaction and, like, stories and whatever on there.
Okay.
And people's narrative on something going on in their life. So I knew the two of them were frequent users, all ghost accounts, because that's how they do it. That's how a lot of people do it. And anyway, later that day, Jennifer reaches out to me and she's like, there's a post about us on Mumsnet.
What?
I said, pardon? She said, there's a post about us. And she was upset. She was upset when she's telling me. So I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I think Anastasia's gone and posted about us on Mumsnet.
But how did you know it was Anastasia?
The thing is, yeah, you know when you have a friend that's cunning? To this day, I believe she posted that with full thought that knowing that Jennifer's likely to see it.
Okay.
Because even when they would talk to me about some of the things that they're looking at and following online, they look at similar things or they follow the same things. So they're following each other online, basically, you know, on some of the blogs and stuff that they're looking at. And like I said, they had a couple of ghost accounts. They knew each other's ghost accounts and whatnot. So I think Anastasia posted it knowing that eventually, like sooner or later, Jennifer would see it, and she saw it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And in short, it was this long post. And here's the punchline. Anastasia didn't post it as herself. I'm not talking about an alias account. She didn't post it as herself, like speaking from her perspective.
Okay.
She posted it pretending to be me, speaking from my perspective.
Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out. So what she's writing is not, it's not from her perspective. She's not saying, hey, I have friends and this is what happened. She's basically writing it as if she were you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right to frown your face in confusion.
So
it's giving Babel.
So what perspective was she sharing? Like, as in, obviously speaking from your perspective, but I'm guessing she's speaking from her understanding of your perspective. So what exactly is she saying?
In short, I read the post and I remember even telling Jennifer, like, listen, come off it, come offline. Don't read it. Don't go through comments and things, because she posted. Thank goodness she used fake names.
Okay.
At least not very good fake names, but fake names. And she said, oh, my friend's dad passed and da 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 da, and that there wasn't anything wrong with that, because her uncle was like a father figure for her.
Okay.
So I think that's what she meant by that. Not like she was trying to drum up more.
Yeah.
But the bits that were problems is she then goes on to say, like, oh yeah, and I wasn't really as concerned about coming, and I had another event to go to, and da 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 da.
Okay, I get it.
the same way she posed a narrative when she sent me that text. She basically posed a narrative pretending to be me, pretending to tell my side of the story.
Okay.
Heavy on quotation marks. When you read it, it just sounds like absolute nonsense. Wow. So naturally, all the comments that followed were, you know, keyboard warriors. Oh my gosh, you people, you're horrible. You and your other friend, you're terrible people. Da 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 da. All these comments just, you know, about how, and you know, the internet's cruel. People were there talking about we should unalive ourselves.
Are you serious?
And she's just allowing all these comments to just flood in.
People actually read it and said you should
unalive ourselves. From all the, like, and she posted some serious blog and stuff, which was a crazy statement in itself. Oh, you should unalive yourselves. You should this, you should that, you should this.
That's mad. Oh my God.
And I was like,
how did you feel reading those comments? I don't know what I'll do if I read comments like that about me. Like, I know, like, there's fake names. I know these people don't know you, but it's still, that's quite strong.
It is, you know, like, people go on like, oh, you know, like when we're young, we're still that generation that heard phrases like sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. No, words hurt.
Words kill.
Words hurt. Words kill.
Words
it's
are
true.
Killing people words, now.
Listen.
In this internet age.
The right words or the wrong words are killing people.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not something to take lightly or to act like it's just nothing.
Mm.
It was definitely upsetting when I heard it. And that's why I was so quick to tell Jennifer, because I could see how upset she was. And obviously she found it first and told me, sent me the link. So I didn't know how many comments she'd read through. And I was like, listen, get offline. You're fine. Don't think anything of it. And in my head, I was just thinking, it's less than 24 hours ago. I was telling this girl that all we do is argue every time we have a problem. This is toxic. And at this point, you're proving my point. Mm. So I actually messaged her and was like, listen, it seems to be like all we're doing is fighting, and you put in that post is just proving the fact that all we're doing is fighting. Mm-hmm. So I don't even understand why you would do that. And I think it's only just proving my point. So honestly, I wish you the best, but this is it for us. This is it.
Wow.
I sent that text and I blocked and deleted the number. That's the last time I ever spoke to her.
Ever. You never heard from her again?
I never spoke to her again.
Wow. That's actually really sad, because as I'm hearing your story, I'm like, friends since year 7.
Yeah.
That's 11 years old, right?
10, 11, yeah.
And then...
and we got all the way to our 20s.
That's a huge friendship to lose.
It was rough.
How did you feel having to send that final message? Because regardless of everything that's happened, like that's somebody that you've been with since age of 11. How did it feel sort of saying no more?
It was... I think because I sent the initial message the day before, it was the worst of it in that sense was kind of over. But Jennifer and I had already had time to process and be like, you know, this is not okay. This is not it. I don't want to lose my friend or my sister. But it was that realization to say, we already have.
Okay. So it's almost like you mourned the relationship before it ended.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like... Obviously, there's a lot of, whether it's podcasts or things, where people talk about like relationships, romantic relationships. And you know, you can be in a relationship sometimes. Some people be like, ah, they know it's on a decline. And you can already be mourning it before you're completely separate or out of it. And I think it's similar with friendships and stuff. Yeah. You can be mourning it before you're completely out to know like, okay, this, you know, my sister or my brother or whoever, we used to have sleepovers, we go shopping and do things together. We, you know, share our lives. Triumphs and tragedies with one another, and realizing that everything that you've shared, all those happy moments, some of the your funniest moments, even something that you look back at and you smile on a random day, we're not gonna have more of those anymore because it's gone, it's lost. And it's not even a thing of I'm losing it, it's that it's already lost. And it's hard to take that in.
You had that. Did Jennifer also have to sort of break it off as well?
Yeah, she'd reached her limit as well. Okay. And she broke it off. I think it was a lot. I think at the time, it felt a lot more rough for Jennifer than it did for me. Because like I said, they had gone through a lot as well, just the two of them.
Mm.
And like I said, Jennifer is one of the kindest souls. One of the kindest souls I know till today.
Yeah.
And she doesn't take friendships and relationships. She doesn't take anything lightly.
Mm.
So I know it. Same way it cut me deep, I can only imagine it cut her twice as bad.
Yeah.
But that was just the reality of things.
So I guess my question is, like, how did that friendship breakup impact you? Do you think it impacted you, or how did it?
Yes, I would say it was one of the initial friendship breakups. Such a strong friendship, and so such a tragic breakup, that it was life-changing in the sense of I now reached that point of understanding when I need to say goodbye to certain individuals and stuff. Understanding that you can love people and understand that you cannot be in the same space with them because you're on different pages. And especially when you talk about like childhood friendships and things, it's very easy to get trapped in the, oh, but this has been my friend since I was like, you know, 4 years old. Yeah. And it's like, but you know, especially when you're outside of like school and school systems, because normally you're all on like level playing field, you're all doing the same thing at the same time. But then when you come out of that, and so whether it's out of uni or out of, you know, whatever education, and you're now approaching the working world and doing different things and going down different career paths and you know, moving to different locations for those things, you all start to now really start to mold your own paths. And sometimes your paths don't intertwine the way they did when you were younger.
Yeah.
And it's coming to reason with that and say, that's okay. One of the things that we all have to learn at some point, and hopefully we learn it sooner rather than later, is that not every situation is like a hero villain story. It's not like that. It's not a good and bad person. It's just different stories, different trajectories. That's all it really is. And it was really coming to understand that.
I remember reading somewhere where somebody was going through a friendship breakup and they were like, it's not even about fault, it's about fit.
Yeah,
that sometimes life just changes in a way that you just don't fit together anymore.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
So obviously it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
You're older now.
Yeah.
So looking back at the whole situation, what are your reflections, and do you feel like there's things that you would have or should have done differently in terms of how you navigated that relationship with Anastasia?
I would say that, I mean, hindsight is everything.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a part of me that's like, no, I wouldn't change anything because we've all learned so much from it. In an ideal world, we would have had the kind of knowledge and experience from a lot earlier to realize what was kind of happening, going on, to have tried to stop some of those arguments or things, or like that trend from getting to where it did from earlier. Maybe I don't know if it would have made a difference in terms of helping Anastasia. I imagine it was a big shock for her because, like I said, I think Jennifer and I obviously had time to go off to different places and meet different people and effectively expand our friendship groups. But of course, for Anastasia, she was very limited.
Did she have any like mum friends? Did she make any mum friends and stuff?
The odd one here and there. From what I understood, no one very, very permanent in her life. And I can understand it was a lot harder because a lot of the mums she was meeting were a lot older.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't meeting as many who were in relative age gaps. Like, she wasn't meeting her age mates. So, basically. Yeah. So for a lot of the time, and so it was like Jennifer and I were her only main friends. So I can imagine it was quite a shock to the system at the time when obviously that all transpired. But again, it was that thing of her always just resulting to let me lash out and do what I want and so forth. Yeah, it's hard. But there was a lot of learning outcomes from it. There was a lot of learning outcomes from it, which I think I'm sure on Anastasia's side and Jennifer's side, but I'm definitely grateful for as well.
So what are some of the things like you can say that you learned?
That situation taught me a lot about boundaries.
Yeah.
And just understanding that you need to put boundaries in place with people. When you see from early on, you know, make it clear what is okay and what isn't okay. Sometimes it comes with situations like that where you then learn what those boundaries are. Sometimes you don't know before until that's it's crossed true. And you're like, whoa, okay, that's a bit much. Oh, hey, friend, I didn't really like this, or I was kind of touched by that, or it kind of hurt me. It's okay, like, let's go forward like this, or please don't do that, you know. But it's having those boundaries in place so that people don't think they can just say and do according to their will in any given moment of emotion, especially. And you were to just somehow just tolerate things, because it deteriorates you. And it's realizing that, you know, every friendship, every relationship that we hold dear, it has such impact on us. Because like I said, I think, you know, Jennifer and I are quite confident people, relatively outspoken, we're quite outgoing, but I would say on both of us, to a certain extent, it made us a little bit timid.
Wow.
Just because of constantly dealing with that kind of relationship, that it just made us a little bit, you know, shy away from things a little bit, because that became the natural habit to do.
Yeah, like a survival.
Yeah, survival technique and stuff. And now you're just living in this survival. It shouldn't be that way. And so any friendships and stuff that we have should help us to thrive with one another, to grow.
Definitely.
And when it's not doing that, you have to kind of look and think, oh, why? Okay, what's going on here and stuff? Do I have a really dominant friend and actually it's your getting onto me, or you're doing something which is, you know, hurting me or putting me down, and acknowledging that and being okay with saying, actually, this is not okay for me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that something's wrong with you. It's just that at this point in time, we're not gelling the way we should be gelling as friends. And maybe we need to take a step back from one another. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's also learning that, yeah, it's not having the narrative that is pushed in, like, general society, like this again, that stereotype of good, bad, good person, bad person, or, you know, hero, villain. Not everything is a villain story. In fact, most cases are not. It's just a lot of us are just broken people, and broken people break other things and other people. It's a natural reaction, because yeah, hurt people hurt people and stuff. What Anastasia was going through, has been through, it's harsh. It was harsh. Like, a lot of us have our own stories of, you know, something embarrassing that happened when we're young, and, you know, you still remember it today and think, oh my gosh, like, it's something that still makes you shudder sometimes.
Yeah.
She went through some very harsh times.
She went through it.
With some, you know, people around her, and so people that she thought she could trust as well. So it's not to be taken lightly. Like, I don't want to minimize what she went through, but it then doesn't make it as an opening to say that you can now take out the stress and strain of that on others around you. I can't carry that burden for you.
No, definitely.
And it's, you know, acknowledging that with yourself and with your friends.
So what one thing would you say to somebody or share with someone that's in a similar situation now, where their friend is going through it, one thing after another, and they're finding that their friend's sort of taking out on them, or they're trapped in this cycle of arguments and blocking, and it's just very overwhelming. Like, what one thing would you share with them?
I would advise that person or people to really take time with themselves and review what they believe the issue is. Do you think the issue is okay, you're getting into these arguments. Why are you getting into these arguments and stuff? Are you realizing that actually we're getting into just pitiful arguments, just arguments that shouldn't even be arguments? Why do you think you're getting into those? If you know the root, is it something you can help? And only something you can help within reason. What a lot of us try to do is go above and beyond for others, but there's only so much of yourself you can give away before, you know, you're depleted or you don't have enough.
Yeah,
you can't walk around as half a person, because, you know, a lot of people try to do that, and then you find that in the long term you become a more bitter about things because you're pouring out into everybody else, and then you don't have those people pouring back into you, and then you feel like, you know, they're shafting you effectively. Like, why are you not pouring back into me? Because it's actually not their responsibility to pour into you. It's all of our responsibility to be kind to one another, just as, you know, mankind, but it's not anyone's responsibility to pour into you. Speaking from a Christian perspective, I believe that it's God who pours into us. And then we do pour out into others and stuff. We share and we do these things in service and stuff. And that's how, you know, you really see love with friendships, romantic relationships, whatever, family, whoever. But there's, you have to keep enough of yourself to then go and spend more of that time with God so that he can continue pouring into you. If you give everything out and you're completely depleted, you don't have even enough time and energy to go back to the source himself.
Yeah.
You are finished. And then you feel like those people that you've been pouring out into, you feel like they've stolen from you because they didn't pour back into you. But it's not their responsibility. It's God's.
And I think also, just to add to your point, is that I think sometimes you mentioned one of the things that was going through your head was, I've known this person since we were young. And you think about all those memories. And I don't think it makes you a better friend to go to endure sort of abuse from a friend. Or you're like, that's my girl. Don't worry. I'll just let that one slide. It's cool. She's going through it. I think there comes a time when you're like, actually, I'm making our friendship worse and I'm making that person's behavior worse because I'm through complying and sort of allowing the behavior, I'm encouraging it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're enabling it.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click. Yeah. Click. No, it's true. It's 100% true. Yeah, you don't want to get to a point where you're enabling your friends to do something which is not right or is bad behavior.
And you think you're being a good friend because you're like, look, I'm not saying anything.
I'm not causing any problem. I'm just here in the corner. And, you know, they don't want me to. It's like this and I'm not shining, but, you know, it's okay. I can be dim over here. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not meant to be like that.
Yeah.
And stuff. Not for you and not for them either. They might be going through something. In my scenario, and so Anastasia was going through something, and I bet she's probably better off the fact that we had to move away because she had no choice but to assess what was going on.
Wow.
Rather than stay where we were and just get worse and just continue going on this crazy depressing decline.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to be brave enough to step up and assess the situation and be like, okay, why are we in this problem? What's going on here? Then you've got to have the courage from God to say, you know what, this is not okay, and realize that everyone deserves to be in a happy and safe space in your friendships and definitely your circles. And, you know, it's okay to acknowledge that you love this person but cannot be around them because you're not on the same page right now. You're in this space, and so maybe, you know, again, Christian perspective, God has taken you, you know, he's shown you this kind of wisdom and knowledge, and you know, okay, I want to respect my friends and love people in this way. And my friend who I love so dearly is not there yet. And that's okay, because same way God worked on me, God's going to work on them in their own time.
And as a friend, it's not your responsibility to sort of take that on.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you take on the abuse because you're like, oh, I can't leave this friend. They're really going through it. If I leave them, they're just going to be. But it's like, there comes a point where you're like, you know what? God will take care of them. Like, this relationship's just not working.
Yes.
And it's okay for me to walk away. Even if they're in the midst, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's even hard for me to say it, but that is the reality sometimes where you're like, look, they're going through it, but me staying
doesn't
is not going to make it any better. Yeah.
You can find that you're even working against the plans that God has for that person.
Yeah.
Because you staying and enabling the behavior, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you actually doing? You're not doing anything that helps or, you know, makes things better.
Yeah.
And so, and it might be that thing of moving away, because you might already be thinking about all the things that you're trying to do and so forth. This life is not easy. This adult life.
Yeah.
This adult life, never mind this cost of living crisis we're living through. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you're trying to do and so forth. You need the energy and time to do them. And you need friendships and stuff, relationships that support you in doing those things. And maybe, you know, you've already been, you know, talking to God and stuff in prayer and things, and be like, you know, you've got these big dreams and stuff, things that you're trying to do. And so God has a plan for you. You have to continue with those plans. You can't be here like, oh, I'm not going to do this podcast today because I'm just feeling so bad because, you know, Stacey, she doesn't, you know, I had an argument with Stacey and it's been like this and that, and I just feel so drained emotionally and da-da-da-da. Do you know what I mean? Everything has a domino effect and stuff, how we, you know, treat each other, our relationships. So you can't be stuck and trapped in this box and stuff of a bad relationship, a toxic relationship with friends just because, oh, but I've just known them for years. Yes, you've known them for years. And by God's grace, yeah, you're going to know them for a long time longer, just not right now.
I like that. And I guess with that said, last question.
Yeah.
If Anastasia were to reach out now,
yeah,
and obviously you've both grown and she's apologetic for what happened, could you see yourself reconciling the friendship?
I would definitely talk to her and have that, you know, see that conversation through entirely. Where I am currently in my life, I'm going through a couple of like career changes. So I don't have as much time and energy right now to share with like friends. So I'd, even having that conversation with her, I would still make it clear to say, I don't want you to feel like I'm not wanting to talk to you or something, but I'd be lying if I said I have all this time and free now to be like, oh yeah, let's talk or let's hang out and let's do things. And so, as it stands, the friends and people I'm close with now, I'm rarely seeing because of the things that like plans that I'm trying to execute. So I think I would, you know, have a conversation with her, and I'd really, you know, I'd appreciate the conversation and let her know that. But I would make it clear that I'm going to tell you, honestly, I'm in a space right now where I'm doing so much. I'd be lying if I said he was going to be hearing from me and seeing from me.
That's really good. And it shows growth because it shows that, look, you're ready to reconcile. But at the same time, you also know your boundaries and you know how to communicate those as well.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Midnight, for being on this podcast. And I guess if people want to stay, you know, stay in touch or connect, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Instagram or TikTok, and I've got two pages you can follow. So you've got Miss_Midnight, of course, and stuff, you know, it's me. And you've got a beautiful food page called Ngoma's Food on Instagram and on TikTok. So you can follow me on there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I really hope that you found Midnight's story valuable. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please show us some love. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. And if you do have a dilemma that you want to submit to be discussed on the podcast, please don't forget to email theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. If you'd like more friendship breakup content, or if you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram at love_MissDaisy. And also at theunfriended.pod. So thanks again for sticking to the end, sending lots of love your way, and I'll see you in the next episode.